few years ago, I was talking with a single mom about baptizing her little daughter. And at first, the conversation started out very cordial, but then she became very irritated. And once she calmed down a little bit, I asked her, "Did you ever have trouble in the church?" And she took a deep breath, and she went into a story about how she had messed up, and she had gone to her church, and she was hoping to receive grace, but instead she was only met with condemnation. She was seeking love, and all she got was judgment, and eventually they actually ended up shunning her and kicking her out of the church. Another woman I talked with talked about how her experience of growing up in the church and even going to Christian elementary school and high school. And she looks back on that time, and she shared with me that she said it wasn't very joyful. And she lamented the fact that there wasn't a lot of caring and sharing and taking care of one another, and she wished it would have been different. I also have a friend who dedicated the majority of his life wanting to be a missionary, to go to foreign lands and share the good news of Jesus Christ with people he had never met before. But then something happened in his church, and he shared with me that he's not even sure what he believes anymore, and church is no longer a part of his life. Now, on the complete opposite end of that, I was talking with a young lady a few weeks ago, and she was sharing with me her experience with church growing up and how she loved it. And it was amazing, and she wished everyone had her same experience. I have a buddy who converted to Christianity. He became a Christian in his early 20s, and he's one of these people you would define as on fire for Jesus. He loves his church community. He loves gathering together. It's his life. And I have a dear friend who, she struggled with meth, an addiction to meth, for years. And talking with her today, you'd have no idea. And she would tell you that the reason that she has been freed from that addiction today is because of God's grace and because of the Christian community surrounding her. There are a lot of people with a lot of different stories about their experiences with church, and all of you have your own experience, some good, some bad, some of both. For some of you, it's unfolding as I speak, because maybe this is your first time showing up at church or checking it out online, and I applaud you for stepping out of your comfort zone. For some of you, your story is restarting. Maybe you've been away from church for a really long time, and you decided maybe you're going to give it another try. Wherever you're at, whether your experience has been long or short, I'm really glad you're here, and what I want to share with you today is that no matter your experience, we all need the church. And I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking about the people who gather together in the church, or at least next to the church, right? We all need church community. And I'm not going to try to convince you today that being in a church community is perfect, because it's not. Many of you know from experience that it isn't. But when done well and done according to God's will, it is amazing. And it's something that we all need to get through this really tough life. And it's something that we need in order to help other people understand that they can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. We all need church community, Christian community. And we all need it whether you realize it or not. But I think the pandemic has really helped us understand that we do need it. At first, being isolated was kind of cool. Do you remember that? Like, oh, this is kind of nice. I don't have to run around and be busy all the time. I can actually have my alone time. I don't have to cart my kids to a million different things. Like, we can just actually chill out at home. And for all my introverted friends, they loved it. But eventually, even the most introverted among us realized, this isn't good. It's not healthy to be alone. And in fact, it can drive you crazy. That's why militaries all around the world use isolation and solitary confinement as a form of torture. And it's torture because God did not design you and me to live life, to do life alone. He created us to be in community. And that's why we all crave being part of something bigger than ourselves. That's why we join clubs and teams and organizations. And as good as those things are, and as much as they can fit some of those felt needs, without Jesus, they can't meet our greatest need. They can't connect us to God, and that's why we need Christian community. And as I say that, I know some of you are leery of that because you've tried it in the past. You've tried to gather together with like-minded people, and you found out maybe sometimes we're not always like-minded, and you got hurt. When you needed grace, you got condemnation. When you needed someone to listen to you, all you got was judgment and yelling. When you needed someone to comfort you, all you got was ridicule and people making fun of you. And I get that. I've been there. I've been the person on the receiving end of that, and it hurts. And no, you don't want it to happen again. And I have to repent and tell you that I've been the person on the other side of that too, where I've been that person who's been condemning and yelling and ridiculing. And having said all that, what it reveals is that being part of a Christian community is messy. It's hard. It's not clean. And nobody knew that better than Jesus Christ and one of his top disciples, Peter. And what we're going to find out today from Scripture and what they're going to show us is that as messy as Christian community can be, it's way better than doing life alone. And so I want to set the scene for what happens and what I'm going to talk about today. So it was 50 days after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. It was on a day they call Pentecost. And Peter and his buddies had finally come out of hiding. And the reason they had been in hiding is they were afraid of the people who had killed their leader, and they were afraid that those people were going to kill them. But on this day, with this Holy Spirit confidence, they decided to come out and start preaching because they knew that their leader was no longer dead, he was alive. And they're preaching the resurrection to these people in Jerusalem. And what's amazing about that is in Jerusalem, those people could verify whether or not what they were saying was true. I mean, they could walk down the road and look into Jesus' tomb and see that it was empty. And there was no logical reason for it except for the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, what's amazing about Peter and these apostles preaching to this crowd is that these were the same people they were hiding from. These were the same people that wanted to kill them. Have you ever wondered why this would have been their coming out party to preach to their enemies? The reason why is because Jesus wanted his disciples to live in community with those people. It was for this very purpose that Jesus Christ came into this world, to die and rise from the dead so that his enemies could be his friends, so that they could live in community with him. And then you talk about messy relationships, it doesn't get any messier than that. And for that community to happen, Peter and his friends needed to be blunt. And their message was hit right between the eyes because they declared, "You people that we're preaching to, you killed God's Messiah, the chosen one, the Savior of the world. You put him to death. You crucified him." And so those who hadn't believed in Jesus as the Messiah 50 days prior to this now see all this evidence before them, and they can't deny that this is the fact, this is truth. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And they were cut to the heart. They were sad for what they had done to their Savior. And they looked at Peter and the other disciples and they said, "What must we do? What do we have to do to make this right?" And Peter said this. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And he says, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, for all those God will call." So that day, God called his enemies to be in Christian community with him and with his disciples. And this is what happened. Look at your bulletin there. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. It says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." 3,000 of God's enemies accepted the message that Jesus Christ was their Lord and their Savior. They received the gift of forgiveness through baptism, and now they were part of this Christian community. And what that community looked like, what we're going to look at today, is what I hope our faith community here will continue to grow into. That all of us, not just me, the pastor, not just your leaders and your elders, but every single one of us will look at their example today and want to emulate it in our own lives. Because for far too long, too many Christians have decided that they're going to go to church maybe once a week for an hour and check the attendance box and say, I did my duty, but not actually live out what Christ has called us to do, to live together, to love one another, to constantly point each other to Jesus Christ. This is what Christian community is all about, and this is what you and I get to emulate and follow. And that's what these 3,000 former enemies are going to show us how to do today. So look at verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What does it mean that they devoted themselves? It means that they were all in. Those who had been all out were now sold out for Jesus Christ. They were dedicating the majority of their time and their resources to the apostles' teachings. What is that? So you have the apostle Paul. We're talking about him today. The apostle Peter, the apostle John, James. All these people wrote about their firsthand experiences with Jesus Christ. And so now these people are dedicating their time to study this and learn more about God, their Savior. And it wasn't just about information in, you know, it's not like learning God's word so that you can go on Jeopardy one day and win that category, the Bible category. No, it's about how do we apply this to our lives. And in the book of James, it says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. So they dedicated themselves to studying God's word, being together, and then learning how to put it into practice. And then it says they devoted themselves to fellowship and the breaking of bread. When you break bread with someone, you know what that means? When you eat with them, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it is, when you eat with them, have you ever noticed that your conversations go way deeper than how are you doing? How's the weather? How's your trip from point A to point B? But you actually ask, you say, how are you doing, really? How's your family doing, really? Like, how can I support you? Are you okay? Are you not okay? Like, let's really talk about that. That's what happens when you break bread. And that's what they were doing. They weren't just going to church on Sundays, but they were gathering around each other and doing life with one another. And it says, and they devoted themselves to prayer. Now, I love prayer because it is so powerful. But honestly, I used to be intimidated by it. I used to think that you had to be a poet to be able to pray. But the more that I've studied God's word, the more I've realized that no, God has given prayer to all of his people. And that it is one of the most powerful spiritual tools that he gives us to help each other. And we get to grow in this. I'm excited for all of us to get better at praying, not just to God, but for our fellow Christians. That when you're in a moment and somebody's sharing with you a difficulty, that you can stop and you can feel comfortable, or maybe you can feel uncomfortable about it. It doesn't matter how you feel. But you stop and you say, can I pray for you? Can I lift you up in prayer? Because I can't help you, but God can. So let's pray. And that's what the early Christian church was doing. This is what these former enemies were doing. They're now praying to their Savior God, and amazing things were happening. Look at verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So the people are praying, and God is doing these amazing, miraculous signs and wonders through his apostles, giving validity to this message that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, that he is our Savior, that he has forgiven us all of our sins. And what's the result? They have everything in common. But that does not mean they all rooted for the same football team. Okay? What it means is that they were all on the same mission of loving God, being loved by God, and then sharing that love of God with other people. That was their mission. That was their one-mindedness, to love God and to love God's people. And the result of that is these people started selling their property and possessions to give to those who were in need. They were sold out for Jesus. And after a year of being here, I've seen that kind of generosity in this group, in this Christian community. And I am so excited about seeing how much more the Holy Spirit is going to prompt us to say, look at the gifts that we've been given, all the niceties that we've received, and how can we bless those that are in need and don't have what we have. But how do we keep that momentum up? How do we keep being one-minded and in this mission to love other people? Verse 46 tells us. It says, every day. What does it say? I just want to see if you're awake. Every what? Every day. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So where were the people gathering? What does it say? In the temple courts, in the church. So it is good and right for us to do what we're doing here. We have these rows set up. I get to preach to you and give you some deep truths from God's word. And we're built up, and we're singing together, and we have that community and unity. But if this is the only way we gather together, there's some drawbacks, aren't there? Because the majority of you are staring at the back of somebody's head and not at the whites of somebody's eyes. It's hard to get to know someone that way, isn't it? And it's very easy to get lost in this crowd. You can show up or not show up, and we may or may not know. And the only one really talking about God is me. And that shouldn't be, right? We all need to be talking, and that's why God created us to gather together in rows, but also in circles, so that we would gather together in homes and break bread with each other, so that we could look at each other's eyes and get to know what's going on. And learn, not just me, but all of us, learn how to speak God's truths into each other's lives, to encourage one another, to pray for each other, to carry each other's burdens. And also, to notice when someone's not around. Today, as I look out, I can tell who's not here. But I don't know if you can. But if you're sitting in a circle of 10 to 15 people, you know when that person's not around. And you get to call them, not to badger them and say, hey, I'm really good and you're really bad because I go to church and you don't. No, it's, hey, I didn't see you today. How are you doing? I miss you. Are you okay? Can I support you? That's what God wants for you, for all of us. And that's why here at Faith, we created our faith groups. Because we want everyone, all of you, to experience Christian community in this way. We want you to have friends that will give you godly perspective. We want you to have this built-in accountability so that you can stay on the straight and narrow path because it's so easy to get off of it. We want you to learn how to live with repentance and forgiveness because these relationships are going to get messy, and we want you to be able to be ready to be able to reconcile when life goes south. And we want you to be surrounded by a group of people that love you and will be there for you when life is tough. And that was Steve's experience. When I served in Wisconsin, we had an amazing, thriving small group Bible study system, and Steve was going to be one of our next group leaders. But before that session started, he called and asked if he could meet with me privately with his wife. And we sat down, and he revealed that he had been diagnosed with tongue cancer. He had never smoked a cigarette in his life. But he had to go in and get this intense surgery where they were going to remove his tongue, take a portion of his pectoral muscle, and replace it. I'd never heard of anything in my life. But obviously, this was a huge transition in his life, and there was no way he could lead that group. But the amazing thing is he had already been part of groups, and he had this Christian community around him. So he goes in, and he gets this surgery done, and I go two or three times to visit him and his wife and minister to them. And I asked his wife, Karen, I said, how can I continue to serve both of you? And she says, Pastor, keep praying for us, but I want you to know our group has us. And she tells me that they come all the time to their house to drop off food. They're mowing the lawn. They're helping pay the bills. Their group is there to take Steve to the hospital when she can't make it to an appointment. And they're participating in their online Bible studies. Now, this is way before the pandemic, but they're using Skype to be able to be a part of their groups. And she says, Pastor, our group has us. What we want you to do is go serve somebody else who's not part of a group. That's what Christian community is all about, where we get to be a part of each other's lives and support one another when life is hard. And this is what I want you to know, is that if you're new to Faith Church, and you're wondering, okay, how do I get connected? How do I take that next step? How do I be part of the circles? We have a special 8-week group called Faith in Focus. Please sign up for that. Because in that, you have the opportunity to ask all these questions, your nagging questions about God. And really importantly, you get to connect with people that are on the same journey that you're on. And we are so intent on having groups and community, even for our young people, that we're starting our youth group this coming Wednesday for 5th through 8th graders. And we want you to experience that connectivity and that community as well. And so today, as you're getting awesome food, we have our table set up down there. You can sign up for these groups. This Wednesday is for the youth group, our Faith and Focus. We haven't set a time and date yet, but if you write your name down, I will call you. And we're going to talk and see how can we make this work, because life is better together. And that's what that early Christian church was experiencing. As they're living in Christian community, something else happened. And this is the last thing I want to talk to you about. Look again at that final verse. It says, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So not only were people enjoying each other's company and the blessing of community, but the enemies of Jesus Christ were repenting and receiving friendship with God. They were finally seeing Jesus as who he was, their Savior and their friend. All kinds of people were being saved and given eternal life. God added to their number daily. And the big question is, do I want God to add to our number here at Faith Church? Do I want God to grow our Christian community? What do you think my answer is? Absolutely, right? But more importantly, I just want people to know Jesus. I want people to be saved, whether they're a part of Faith Church or another Christian church, whether they're part of our Christian community or another Christian community, because at the end of the day, what matters is that people are saved and they know their Savior and that they're getting together and doing life together, because it's Jesus who reminds us that this is what it's all about. You know, we can break bread and we can sing songs, but if we don't have Jesus, then what are we doing? And what are we doing? But it's Jesus who reminds us that life is better together in this community, even sometimes when it's messy, because Jesus came here to clean up our messes so that we could be in community with him now and forever. Jesus came into this world to allow us to be in community with each other now and forever. So I want to invite you to join me on this amazing journey to live in Christian community, because life is, this is where you all shouted out, life is what? Better together. Let's pray. Lord, it's just mind-boggling that you want us to be part of your family, to be part of your community, but that's how big your heart is. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for repentance. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for this group of people gathered here today and listening online. And God, I pray that you would prompt us to see the example here recorded for us in Acts chapter 2 and to live this out, that we're not just the Sunday goers, but we are the Sunday goers and we're the gatherers in homes and breaking bread together, living out life. Because God, you did not create us to be alone. You created us to be in community. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.